in altered states of consciousness. And this is the first evidence we have of any kind of religious behavior amongst our ancestors. So nobody can deny that these states of consciousness have been fundamental in the development and origins of religion. And therefore, our society, if we value religion, we should value these experiences also and realize what a crucial, massive, gigantic role they have played in the human story, and we should stop pretending otherwise.
I want to go into something I know you have a real passion about. I know a lot of your work has to do with your Orion correlation theory. Could you tell our listeners something about what you believe is the Orion correlation theory?
Okay, well, first of all, I must make absolutely clear that this is not my theory. This is the theory of a close colleague and indeed co-author of mine, and that is Robert Bovaal.
Yes, that's right.
Robert Bovaal is an engineer by training, and he spent much of the first half of his adult life building enormous structures all over the Middle East, as a matter of fact. But Robert one day became intrigued by the pyramids, the three pyramids of Giza, and looking at an aerial photograph, he wondered why they were laid out on the ground in such a peculiar manner. And to cut the long story again, very short, after years of research, Robert was absolutely able to establish why the pyramids are laid out in the form they are on the ground. And that's because they are designed as an image on the ground of the three stars of the belt of the constellation of Orion. Three pyramids, three stars, and the pyramids laid out on the ground in the pattern of the stars. And it turns out that the constellation of Orion isn't just any old constellation. If you wanted to argue that this astonishing visual resemblance was a coincidence, that would be a lot easier if you could say, well, look, the constellation of Orion wasn't important in ancient Egypt. But on the contrary, the constellation of Orion was the most important constellation in the sky for the ancient Egyptians.
Right.
And they regarded it as the image in the sky of their god of death and rebirth, Osiris, and that the stars represented his belt. So it's very natural that they would seek to make an image of the kingdom of Osiris in the sky on the ground, because Osiris was the lord of the dead. He governed the underworld. It was he who one had to come to terms with when making the journey, the afterlife journey that the Egyptians believed we go through, and they believed that we should be prepared for that journey. So I think what they were doing at Giza was creating a gigantic three-dimensional model of the region of the sky through which they believed their souls would travel after death.
One of my questions that I wanted to ask is also mirrored by one of the members' questions, which was by JPM 1602. I'll just combine mine with that member's. Is there any hard skeletal scientific fact or remnants that giants exist? And what's with the crystal skulls that should not have been able to been made by the given tools of that time period?
As to giants, I've yet to see evidence of any real giants in the past of the human story. Of course, we only find a tiny fraction of the skeletal remains that are laid down in any epoch. But we got a pretty clear view of the evolution of human anatomy over the last 6 million years from the last common ancestor with the chimpanzee.
Right.
And I'm not aware of any gigantic human remains which are not a hoax. And I do feel quite strongly about that. The moment another turn of the spade reveals the skeleton of a giant and it proves to be genuine, I will accept it. But up till now, I haven't seen any evidence of that. Now, remind me of your second part of your question.
The member wanted to know about the crystal skulls. How could they
the
have been created?
The crystal skulls, yes. The crystal skulls, again, we have this category of out-of-place artifacts that have come down to us from prehistory, which don't fit into the picture of the technology of the past. And my argument all along has been we have to accept that we've forgotten part of the story, that there was a period of high technology in the past, which has been forgotten because a great cataclysm came and destroyed that civilization. And I think that the technology that goes to the creation of the crystal skulls is as mysterious as the technology that lies behind the pyramids of Egypt, and that both of them are likely to have their origins in a lost civilization of prehistory.
This is from member Copernicus, and he doesn't have a question. He just says, Graham, I don't want to ask you anything. I just want to tell you that I think you're one of the bravest men who have continued to tell the truth as you see it, despite being threatened and hated by some people who are still stuck in an illusionary world. So that's just giving you a compliment that he's very.
Thank you. That's enormously. It's enormously encouraging, and it is. It is really nice and heartening to hear that kind of comment, because it does. You know, it can be quite. It can be quite difficult to be taking a line that the mainstream of academia and their friends in the media completely disagree with, and you do end up getting attacked, and it is tough. So it's nice to hear that there's that support out there.
Well, you have tons of members that are. I'll give you an example. It is one of the most responded to interview things that we have put up since the inception of the ATS Mix Show.
We're glad to hear it.
Yeah, we're going into our 50th show. So you have a ton of fans, and with all the posts that were made, all the questions that were made, we definitely want to again thank the membership of AboveTopSecret.com for jumping in here. So here's my last question. Now I'm going to throw it to John for his last question with you, Grandma. We appreciate your courtesy and time with us this evening. But this is member Above Top Secret Schuler. And he wants to know, have you found any additional information since you wrote Underworld?
I have a tendency when I've finished a book to move on. Underworld involved me in 7 years of scuba diving all around the world with my wife, Santa, who's a photographer. We put our lives on the line again and again and again. I can't tell you the number of times that we nearly died in that research, whether carried away by huge currents flowing like a river underwater, whether surfacing and finding one's boat gone, just a huge range of problems, storms, being borne down on by a ferry and hardly able to get out of the way. I really took it as far as I could possibly take it, and I tried to put everything into the book. After I finished that book, I felt that there wasn't much more that I could add to it, and I kind of hope that others will take the research on. You know, I'm getting older now. I'm 57.
As we all are.
Yeah.
As we all are.
We're right with you, brother.
and although I still love diving, I felt I risked my life enough for that project.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
I hope that others will take it on.
I don't want to end this on a negative note or anything, but this is something that I feel that perhaps needs to be done. And so I want to present this to you, Graham, because you do have a lot of fans at AboveTopSecret.com and the worldwide, but there are also some of those that don't necessarily agree with your out-of-the-box thinking concepts. And so I'd like to give you the chance right now to maybe answer to those. What would you say to those that are accusing you of being part of, say, a conspiracy agenda, and that your investigative work is just part of some disinformation with the only goal to promote a new belief system? I'm going to give you this period right now to address those people.
Well, obviously, if people do have such beliefs about me, there's nothing that I can do to convince them. Basically, the way I see it, I'm a simple reporter, and I happen to have an interest in ancient mysteries, and I've taken my reporting and investigation skills as a journalist and applied them to the field of ancient mysteries. I always try to set out the facts and the evidence on which I draw my conclusions. I try to provide full transparency to the readers. I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I take risks for my stories. I put myself out there. I argue my corner. I'm always willing to accept that I might be wrong. I think that my job is to provide an alternative point of view. And I would emphasize it's a minority point of view. I am not with the mainstream on almost anything. I'm always trying to give the other side of the story. And I think there's a need in our society for giving the other side of the story. And I don't think that needs to be seen as a conspiracy. I hope in the long term it'll be seen as a useful function, and that I did something useful with all of these years of work.
Well, if it wasn't for challenges and out-of-the-box thinking, we'd still be believing that we lived on a flat world.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, many still do believe that.
And that is actually true.
I have a neighbor that still believes that.
Yes, it's really quite extraordinary, but there you are. Beliefs are very hard to change once they set in.
Well, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been for Dave and I to have you on our show, Graham, and we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, sir.
Thank you. It's been fun for me, too. I've really enjoyed talking to you guys. Thank you for having me on the show.
And we want to ask you, if you would, to just stay on as we close this out, and we'll do our proper goodbyes off air. So in the meantime, we want to thank once again Graham Hancock for taking time out to be on our interview with Dave and Johnny. This is the ATS Mix. I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit, and on behalf of all the members at AboveTopSecret.com who have contributed to the great questions for Mr. Graham Hancock, we definitely appreciate all of you. So we'll see you next time on the ATS Mix.